Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls because we have with us this afternoon a good friend, Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And if you have not been to his new website, as I was over this weekend, worldaffairsbrief.com, and it's a great site. It's got a lot of great information on it. I was reading this weekend his dissertation on the downing of Pan Am 103, and of course we have information there on all sorts of recent happenings. And well, anyway, I think it's a great website. Thank you so very much for having it up there, and thank you so much for being with us today, Joel.
Well, thanks for mentioning it, Dr. Stan. It is a new website. My normal website, joelskousen.com, is still operational. But for those interested in you know, seeing about the World Affairs Brief and getting a daily news update on what's going on in the news, my researchers put the raw stories that I'm going to be analyzing each week, they put them up daily on my website, so you can go there as if you'd go to WorldNet Daily or any other daily news site and see the top news stories that I think have real interest for America.
All right, fine. Well, now, what are we going to be talking about today? What are you covering?
Well, rather than go to strictly world affairs, I'd like to go through a historical piece I added at the end of last week's World Affairs Brief. Evidence from Czech defector John Sanya about medical experiments done on U.S. POWs by the Soviet Union. This was based on dramatic testimony in 1996 to the U.S. Congress. He didn't make the press. He has been a defector since 1968. That means the CIA has known about this since 1968. And yet none of this is in our history books, and none of this has made the press. But it was told to Congress in 1996, and I give a summary in the World Affairs Brief. Essentially, he left Czechoslovakia. He was very high up. He was first secretary to the Ministry of Defense, then chief of staff to the defense minister. He defected to the U.S. When the Soviet Union was preparing to invade Czechoslovakia. He knew about the coming invasion. He chose to alert his own government rather than keep the secret, as he was supposed to, and so he fled to the United States. But from 1964 on, he was the first Secretary of the Ministry of Defense, and that's why he has insider information about what happens. And he says, I was in the process of responding to Soviet direction in about 1956, and I first became aware of the use of American and South Korean POWs by Soviet and Czech doctors. That at the beginning of the Korean War, we had received instructions from Moscow to build a military hospital in North Korea, supposedly for treating military casualties. But it was a cover, he said. The top secret purpose of the hospital was to experiment on American and South Korean POWs. The POWs were used as bodies for training military doctors in field medicine. They were used to test the effects of chemical and biological warfare agents, and to test the effects of atomic radiation. So some of them, obviously they died from these tests.
Well, the tragic thing is that these were American boys who went overseas to fight for freedom without ever realizing that they would be betrayed by their government. Our government knew exactly what was going on and, of course, did absolutely nothing about using American boys for macabre and horrible experiments. And you really need to read about what happened and then ask yourself, why in a society where we have freedom of this press do we never hear this?
A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991. It tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine. The fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine, both at the state and national level. And the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon, of course, is Joel Skousen. We're talking about what happened to the American boys that were abandoned by our government, and not just in Korea. They were abandoned in Vietnam. There's a wonderful book called Moscow Bound, written by a fellow named Brown. I've talked to him. He's so emotionally distraught that nobody out there cares. He spent years putting together the information in that. Of course, Dr. Joe Douglas's wonderful book, Betrayed, We Do Carry, and he summarizes all the other information. But listen to what Joel has to say. A government that would betray its own men will betray its own citizens, and there is a dark side to our government. Wicked and evil people working at the upper echelons, controlling both political parties, and ultimately controlling so much of what the American people think and believe.
Once again, I'm quoting from testimony of Jan Senja, the Czechoslovakian high-ranking defector, and his testimony before Congress in 1996. He said this: at the end of the Korean War, there were about 100 POWs who were still considered useful for further experiments. I believe all others have been killed in the process of the experiments because I do not recall ever reading any report that indicated that any of the POWs, patients at the hospital, left the hospital alive, except the 100 that were still alive at the end of the war. These 100 were flown in 4 groups, first to Czechoslovakia, and they were given physical exams and then on to the Soviet Union. I learned about all this from the Czech doctors who ran the hospital. Now, this was after the Korean War, Stan, that we're talking about these 100 POWs. And so he said he was, let me see where I am, from the official documentation that I reviewed in process of responding to a Soviet request for Czechoslovakia to send medical doctors to the Soviet Union to participate in various experiments being run on the POWs who had been transferred to the Soviet Union. I also reviewed reports on the results of autopsies of the POWs, meaning, you know, they had been killed in an autopsy. While I have just said describes what happened in Korea, I want to point out that the same things happened in Vietnam and Laos during the Vietnam War. The only difference in the operation in Vietnam was that it was better planned and more American POWs were used both in Vietnam and Laos and in the Soviet Union. Now, obviously, the U.S., you see, he defected in 1968, so the U.S. knew about these experiments with POWs in Vietnam while the war was still going on. War really didn't end until 1973 officially, and the U.S. made no protest to the Soviet Union about Jan Senya's knowledge and others that there were many American POWs that were shipped to the Soviet Union. He said, on several occasions, my office was responsible for organizing the shipments of POWs and their housing in Prague before they were shipped to the Soviet Union during the Vietnam War. I personally was present when American POWs were unloaded from planes, put on buses whose windows were painted black, and then driven to Prague where they were placed in various military barracks awaiting shipment to the Soviet Union. Between 1961 and 1968, when I left Czechoslovakia, I would estimate at least 200 American POWs were shipped to the Soviet Union through Czechoslovakia. I believe there were others who were shipped to the Soviet Union through North Korea and East Germany. Although I have no firsthand knowledge of those transfers, I know that many were given to the Chinese for experiments during the Korean War, and Czech intelligence reported that North Vietnamese also provided American POWs to China. So we have both Russia and China experimenting on at least 200 and probably at least 300 POWs during the Vietnam War. I mean, that's more than what North Korea released. And all of this, our Democratic candidate for Congress, John Kerry, you know, received testimony about in the POW MIA hearings and refused to bring any of these people to account.
And, of course, the thing is that they always say the right thing over so concerned. And then, of course, they cover up the truth. And so many of these hearings are actively suppressed by the controlled media, just as right now with the 911 Commission hearings. The staff reports are coming up with some amazing things because, of course, the commissioners won't allow anything important to be said because they interview all the people and then they never ask them to appear in public to discuss or interview them publicly. It's always in private sessions. The information is there, but you've got to search it out. And everything is being done through the media and through the commission to conceal the truth about what happened on 911. But why should we be surprised what happened then when we realize that they allowed our boys to be used for experiments and Henry Kissinger and Richard Nixon knew about it and did absolutely nothing? That's what's so unconscionable.
It is. You know, the cover-up about Russian and Chinese military intentions is still going on, of course. For example, I covered it also in the World Affairs Brief that U.S. Energy Secretary Spencer Abraham and director of Russian Federal Nuclear Power Agency signed in Moscow an agreement to cooperate on retrieving uranium from 20 more Soviet-designed reactors in 17 countries. Now, this is being done, of course, under the Global Threat Reduction Initiative. This is a congressional program allocating more than $450 million supposedly to safeguard nuclear materials and keep them out of the hands of terrorists. And, of course, they continue to leak information about Al-Qaeda trying to get their hands on terrorism to justify these kinds of expenditures.
But it really, Joel, isn't it an effort to justify it so the American people won't realize that we've been financing communism since its inception?
That's right, and we're still financing them. Of course, you know, Russia's providing all the financing while Moscow provides the experts and equipment to retrieve and transport the uranium to secure facilities in Russia. Those secure facilities we bought and we paid for. We built the secure facility for them with all the special radiation shielded storage chambers. As soon as it was completed, U.S. engineers and experts were locked out of the facility, and U.S. Inspectors have never been allowed back into it since we built it for the Russians.
Well, now, are the Russians paying for it now, or are we paying for the bringing this nuclear material back to Russia?
We are paying for it. We are financing all of this, but all of the nuclear material goes back to Russia through this secure facility that we also paid for. Now, I believe, and defectors confirm this, that Russia is, of course, reprocessing this nuclear fuel into warheads, and, of course, all the warheads from decommissioned SS-18s are being returned to the same facility, and they go right on to other newer missiles. So this is a very serious breach of the agreements that have been made, and the U.S. continues to allow this, does not protest, continues to give aid and trade to the continuing Soviet Union, as Chris Story says.
And of course, the thing that amazes me, I don't think they would have the funding to build the new intercontinental mobile missiles that they have, is so accurate, without the continued flow of funds and technology from the United States.
Well, certainly, you know, they have the raw materials to build those, and they can dedicate men to that under their communist, continuing communist form of government. What our U.S. aid and trade does, of course, is take the pressure off of their funding of other things that would be required by international agreements, such as the cleanup of their nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare plants, the older ones at least. Most of the new ones are down in Yamantau Mountain in the Urals now, in these underground facilities, so the older ones are being abandoned, and the U.S. and the EU are paying millions and millions of dollars for these horrendous cleanup projects around Russia and saving Russia the humiliation and finance of having to do it themselves.
Well, of course, I read just this last week that there was a place in Siberia where some Russian scientist died because of Ebola, so they were obviously working on Ebola, and in this laboratory there, I think it was called Vector, there were actually a number of American companies and government, American government subsidies to this plant that is working on biological warfare. Why would we be financing that? We've even signed treaties saying that this is outlawed, and nobody's saying, why are you working with Ebola when you've signed a treaty saying that you would never, you will destroy all your biological weapons? It seems like we're funding the very people who are creating the weapons that will be used to kill our people.
Well, obviously, the tacit purpose of the plant is not to, you know, work on biological or chemical weapons. I'm sure it has some other cover story to which American expertise is, or finance is being lent to it. You know, one thing that the conspirators do not do is try to put ordinary people or businessmen into the position whereby they would know that the United States is blatantly, they try not to at least, sometimes this happens and they have to threaten people to silence, but generally speaking they like to use cover stories and the cover of national security when that is insufficient.
Well, I remember when I wrote my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and I quoted from a speech that I think was given by John Lehman when he was the Secretary of the Navy, saying to the cadets at the Annapolis, you know, very soon you'll be going to sea, you'll be looking across a few hundred or thousand feet of water against the ships with the finest scientific technology America could has developed, but unfortunately it's going to be on Soviet ships.
That's right. Well, the U.S. has allowed, you know, the Soviets to get through technological transfers through joint projects. Boeing, for example, is working on the Joint Strike Fighter with the Russian weapons labs, that is the Strela. And there are many other joint projects with China as well. So this is how technology transfer gets there. They also allow a significant amount of espionage to occur. It's very interesting that you or I could never get a permit to go in and visit the inside workings of Los Alamos. And yet, every month, Chinese and Russian scientists are given permits to go through and visit and take notes. Chinese are given access to very high-level security plants and use aerospace, as well as Lockheed and Boeing. And so this is an ongoing process ever since the first Bush administration to allow the Chinese access to American technology.
And I think the cover story was, well, of course, the Chinese communists gave a couple of $100,000 to Bill Clinton's re-election campaign. If that's true, it's treason. Why didn't George Bush do anything? Why? Because it wasn't treason at all. It was American policy to build up the best enemies money could buy. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Joel Skousen. And, of course, we will welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or at 464-8295.
the Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to remind our listeners that we do carry the Miracle 2 soap products, and of course we can't make any claims for them, but we can tell you that a lot of the people who use them really tell they have wonderful results. And some people say it helps their rashes, and other people say it helps their acne, and some people says it helps their heartburn, and other people, now that's of course the neutralizing, the very alkaline solution that helps the heartburn or helps the lower gastrointestinal tract. And I can't tell you scientifically why these products work, but I will tell you that at least the people who take them seem to be very, very happy with them, and we certainly have used them here at our home for a couple of years now. So if you'd like to know more about the Miracle 2 soap products, why don't you go to our website at www.radioliberty.com, that's www.radioliberty.com, or you can give us a call at our exchange at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for Miracle 2 soap products. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief. Joel, why don't you get your address out as far as the World Affairs Brief, so people want to get samples of your product, they can see it and decide if they want to subscribe.
For those that have access to the Internet, I encourage the listeners to go to worldaffairsbrief.com. That's all written as one word, worldaffairsbrief.com. You can check on sample issues, the archives going from 2003 on back. You can get a lot of my writings on specialty items of interest, such as a whole long list of government cover-ups in the right-hand column. And you can subscribe right online. The World Affairs Brief in the email version comes out weekly, every Friday. If you don't have access to the web, you can call a toll-free number, 877-518-5418. 888-5888 and get a free sample of the latest edition of the World Affairs Brief in the print edition.
Give that number one more time, please.
That's toll-free 877-518-5888.
All right, fine. Well, now, what was the next point you wanted to cover? Do you want to say anything more about Major General Senja?
No. I think, it's a tragic story, and that's enough to say. The greatest tragedy, of course, is the refusal of the media to really give coverage to this. This should be a top story. A lot of them feel like, well, this happened in the former Soviet Union, and therefore, none of the current leaders are responsible for that. But certainly they have never pressed the current leaders for details to find out who was responsible. We still laud people like Gorbachev, who was in the government when many of these things were known and happened, who never revealed those things as he should have. There are people, it would be very interesting to go back through Russian sources and have them reveal who knew in the American government about these things, who they were in communication with, and that would certainly allow us to prosecute some of our American traitors who had betrayed our POWs and MIAs. Let's switch now to current events and talk a little bit about Iraq. Of course, the big story is that the deadlines have passed, and it seemed therefore in the last week, coming up to the June 30 or the May 30 deadline, when Lakhdar Brahimi, the UN envoy, puppet of the U.S., who's going to name a supposedly independent person to lead the temporary government of Iraq, was having trouble finding someone. It became as if, nobody wanted to lead a new interim government because they would be viewed as a puppet of the Americans. The U.S. had leaked the name of Hussein al-Shahristani, a former Iraqi nuclear scientist in exile from the Hussein regime, as the front runner for the job, but he flat turned it down. He said, "No, I'm sorry, I don't want to risk my life, doing that." And of course, Ahmed Chalabi is out. This was the front runner and lead candidate for a long time. I'll get back to him in a minute, because even though he has been under prosecution by the U.S., that may be a phony way of setting the stage for his return later on, which I'll explain. Right now, another medical doctor, Alawi, is the front runner and, is the proposed prime minister to lead the new government. He also is a clone to Ahmed Chalabi. He has run out of London, being in exile from Iraq for over 20 years. A CIA-funded Iraqi National Congress type of organization called the Iraqi National Accords. Virtually identical, he was involved in feeding paid-for intelligence to the CIA and running agents back and forth between Iraq. So I don't see, first of all, this breaks the major rule that Lakhdar Brahimi said that he would use, that no one who had any relations with the U.S. or who served on the Iraqi Governing Council would be eligible to be named as the next interim prime minister, and that they have named one who was part of the Iraqi Governing Council. But this is also clearly a puppet of the U.S. It does appear now that there's something very strange about the raid that the U.S. did on Ahmed Chalabi. As you know, last week the week before they invaded his house, actually owned by his sister. It's his home office there in Iraq. And one of the soldiers shot a bullet hole through the forehead of a picture of Chalabi on the wall. Chalabi is made to appear as if he is anti-American now, or America is against him. But I think it's positioning, or helping Chalabi position himself as a secular Shiite leader so that he can come to power and run for election in Iraq. Shedding himself of the image of a U.S. puppet, and yet I think he still is.
All right, fine. We're going to be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty with our special friend, Joel Skousen. And we welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
set genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan, who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America: the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something, they might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time I want to mention that we carry the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light water filters. And I know, of course, people will say, well, I don't need a water filter. And, you know, if your water doesn't taste bad, why, and you are not concerned about the purity of your water, why, there's certainly no reason to get a water filter, except that we live in uncertain times. We're constantly being told there are going to be more terrorist attacks on the infrastructure of the United States, and perhaps even more violent attacks. And if there anything happened to the water supply, I would simply ask, how would you survive? Well, with certainly a water filter, you can use pool or pond or river or lake water. And the one thing you can't get by without is water. And so that's why we got ourselves a Berkey Light water filter. Now, the Big Berkey is made of stainless steel. It'll filter about 25 gallons a day. You actually put the water in the top. It goes to the ceramic filters packed with activated charcoal, comes out the bottom, and it tastes great. It takes out the herbicides and pesticides, most of them the bacteria, and most of the other things you don't want, except for fluoride or lead or arsenic or MTBE. And you can get special post filters to put on if you want to take those out. The Big Berkey costs $279 plus $10 shipping. It's available in every state except California. In California, you can get a Berkey Light. It's $199.95, I think, $10 is shipping. And, of course, this is made of Lexan, so you can actually see the filters. The filters are completely different. They're black Berkey filters. There's only two of them. They do even a better job than the Big Berkey filters, except they have to be changed every 2 to 3 years. But we recommend either one to you. You can see them on our website, or go to our give us a call of 1-800-544-8927 and ask about Big Berkey or Berkey Light. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we have right now on the line from Illinois, Dave. Dave, did you have a question for Joel?
A basic question for Joel Scales.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. You're talking about the situation in Iraq. My question is, well, first of all, you know, a lot of people think that, and I think they're right, that what happens in Iraq is going to be key in Bush is getting a second term. And I just want Mr. Scales to give me an idea of what the chances of that it could really become peaceful and serene over there enough to get Bush a second term.
All right.
I have doubts myself that that's going to happen.
All right. Do you want to stay on the line, or do you want to take the answer on the air?
I'll stay on the line.
All right. Do you have any thoughts on what David is asking? He's asking if they're going to be able to get enough peace over there to make things look good for President Bush and help his election or re-election campaign.
No, I don't think, and I know of no experts in the Pentagon or even liberal pundits who believe anything but continued warfare and escalating guerrilla and subversive activity over there against the United States and the troops. I think it's going to be a constant. So President Bush's reelection is not going to be based upon peace in Iraq. He's going to continue to say, you know, we're doing all that we can and we're transitioning. The ploy that he's using, and unfortunately the media is going along, is that we're going to give now full sovereignty in June 30th. This is going to be a major propaganda piece. But he used the term in his speech at the Army War College of full sovereignty. I mean, this makes him a liar in any sense of the word. There's no way that you can have full sovereignty when you don't control the military, you don't control the police, you don't control your income, the finances, the oil production. It's just a sham. And none of the major media called him on the carpet for using the term full sovereignty. It was just an egregious error. But in addition, I think the strategy of the Republican National Committee of getting Bush reelected is to, and of course, these same people at a higher level, not the Republicans and the RNC, but at a higher level who control both parties, are working very hard to make sure that John Kerry is fairly destabilized. That's why they're running Ralph Nader again against him to pull off 4 or 5 million votes. John Kerry has a very, very dark record in terms of his Vietnam experience. His Purple Hearts were just token wounds, not in any particularly bravery at all. In fact, he became an anti-war protester and a compatriot of Jane Fonda. So he's very skeptical. He's very vulnerable. I think it's going to be a very difficult job to get Bush reelected, but I think that they still will pull it off. That's why they're continuing to keep the economy relatively afloat, even as difficult as that is. It's interesting. I think that's why they're pushing for electronic voting. I think there'll be some manipulation of the vote through Diebold and Company and others who have this very unconventional software going into the electronic voting machines with no way of tracing it through paper ballots.
Dave, we're going to have to let you go because we have somebody calling from Denmark. So hang on if you want to. You can call back. But right now, let's go to, is it Moult in Denmark?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I have a comment about all this. If you study maybe the Illuminati, all these things he's talking about, the chemical testing and all the media manipulation, that's just the mindset of the New World Order, the globalists, the Illuminati, the Rothschild, British royal family, who really rule America. That's what I want to say.
All right, now you live in Denmark?
Yeah.
All right, and do you listen to our program regularly?
Yeah, I listen to you, especially on your website.
All right, fine. Well, I appreciate. Now, basically, you feel then that there is somebody who really is.
I have studied and read something that says in the United States you don't elect president. You elect them by blood. Bush was the only one. They could not manipulate the first one in 210 years. 15. They could not manipulate in power. They have to cheat.
All right.
Because everyone. That's how the world is. I read about your Rumsfeld, Dr. Rumsfeld, the doctor, the minister, about his German royal contact. He should be related to, I think, royal general in the German army.
And who are you? Are you speaking of who now?
Yeah, Rumsfeld.
Well, let's get our guest's comment. Do you have any comment on what Moult is saying from Denmark?
Yes, I want to say hello to a fellow Dane. I'm also Danish by descent.
Okay.
But I do agree, even though the manipulation of the election is very, very real, it is a little more difficult than some other countries who have parliamentary systems. They really do have to work hard to manipulate public opinion. That's why they work hard to control the media in the
United States. Okay, I understand. But in my perspective, I don't know. I read so much about America, and I understand. I think the doctor too. Do America is no country. It's still a colony of Britain.
All right. Well, there's some people would agree with that. Look, I want to thank you so very much for calling, and please continue listening and encourage people over there in Denmark, too.
Hey.
God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, that's a part of our international listenership. Well, go ahead with your thoughts there, Joel. I did want to take those callers since they're calling for such long distances.
Well, that was fascinating to hear someone from Denmark. I guess he's listening online.
Right, and of course, I think that the people over in Europe have a much better grasp of what's really going on. The fact that we do have an invisible government, everything is manipulated, the media is manipulated, and the American people really have relatively little grasp of the power structure that controls what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Well, one of the reasons for that is that there really is a filter on the news of anything that's allowed to go to the American people. For example, Reuters in Germany or France is very much different than Reuters in America, the overseas news service. So, you know, there is a filter even in Reuters. They have an unseen agreement with the United States that they will not bring certain information through that would upset the American people. But certainly the Europeans have a much more realistic view, I think, of the antagonistic U.S. government that we've got and its role in intervention around the world. It isn't that the world hates American liberty. Everyone would love to have liberty. What they hate, though, is the American government, who is deceptive and who intervenes throughout the world, overthrows governments, and puts pressure upon various different types of governments. Sometimes that pressure is legitimate, but most of the time it is not.
And I really think that what they probably really don't like is the fact that America's military and financial power are being forced upon them to get them to go along with this idea, this agenda of the New World Order and the New World Religion. And we're using our wealth, the taxes of the American people, to push this agenda that the average American doesn't agree with. It is only the ruling elite that want the world government, the world religion.
Well, eventually I believe that, as we've discussed on your program before, that the purpose of the globalists in the New World Order, the Anglo-American establishment, is to create the atmosphere for a third world war. And out of that third world war, they will destroy national sovereignty everywhere, and all Western nations will be forced to come under the global governance of a New World Order. And right now, of course, Moscow and the Anglo-American establishment are fighting for control of that New World Order, and there will be a war that will resolve that. And the way it will be resolved is that Russia is being induced to lead the strike against America with China as its partner, and they will be the antagonists with the West in the next world war. And out of that war, of course, I think Russia will be defeated. A lot of people, especially in Europe, really still don't understand that the fall of the Soviet Union was a carefully crafted deception. True, the people really did want to be free, but the fact that communists still run the government through their, essentially, the leadership of a Russian mafia, who are all the former communist leaders, most Europeans still don't understand that, even though many, many defectors coming out of Poland, Czechoslovakia, Romania now are talking about how even current leaders in those countries, supposedly free from Russia, all have Stasi or East Germany or Czechoslovakian secret police backgrounds and collusion with the Soviet Union, including Václav Havel, who has long had strong ties, secret ties, with the Communist Party there. It's very apparent to me that the so-called freedom movements in Eastern Europe were also manipulated by Russians, and such as when Ceausescu went down and Romania, of course, people who had conveniently just left the party and played the role of reformers went right back into power. And most Romanians that I knew in the United States held the new government in utter disgust, knowing that it was just a sham. It wasn't a true movement for liberty at all.
Well, you know, I think the most amazing thing is this phrase, well, we won the war, communism is dead, there's no more communism, America won the Cold War, and yet you've got 1.2 billion people in China, and China's rapidly expanding industrialization threatens America 5 years down the line, and we have communist North Korea, and we have communist Vietnam, and we have communist Cuba, and we've got communist governments all throughout, Africa, the southern part of Africa, and even if you go back and you study the origin of this Islamic terrorist movement, it was funded both by the Soviet Union and the CIA. It was almost like they were working together.
Well, in fact, they weren't working directly together. What the Russians still don't understand is that the ease at which they were able to penetrate U.S. Government, intelligence, CIA, was done because they were allowed to do so.
Absolutely.
And in this great big meeting in Berlin, where KGB and CIA retired people got together to share drinks and war stories about the Cold War in the year 2000, the KGB was just really putting it over on the CIA and said, you know, you guys were just fools. We were everywhere. You know, you couldn't stop us. And little did they realize that their presence was, in fact, facilitated by our own government. FBI knew exactly what the Russians were doing, but allowed it to happen for various reasons. They wanted penetration to occur. They wanted the Russians to be overconfident. And in the same sense, you know, just like Robert Hansen being outed 15 years later, the U.S. knew long since that he was a Russian spy.
And they left him there and let him continue feeding the information to the Russians. This is what's so unconscionable, but people can't understand that.
You know, the U.S. really carries on a great deal of deceptions in terms of its government. After all, the supposed contriteness in dealing with the Abu Ghraib prison scandal, we're now finding out, and I reported it in the World Affairs Brief, the U.S. still is continuing to keep hundreds of Iraqi prisoners off the register, meaning that they are not on the public rolls given to the International Red Cross inspectors. This intent to keep secret the incarceration of prisoners is a violation of all international agreements. These are called ghost detainees, and one of the reasons for these ghost detainees is to put pressure, in many of these people, the reason they're off the records is because they have no charges against them. They have, America has gone around and arrested people who have done nothing wrong, who are relatives of former Iraqi leaders that they want to induce to surrender, so they're using the relatives that they arrest as hostages to induce the other people to surrender as a rescue or as a ransom to release of their relatives who are being held captive. I mean, this is totally illegal and immoral, and that's come out this last week that the U.S. is still engaging in that kind of activity.
But, you know, the most frightening thing is that most of the people in this Abu Ghraib prison were, really, they were just sort of picked up by accident, and they had no intelligence information, and yet they still tortured them. This is, and now they're releasing them by the hundreds, saying, oh, shucks, you know, we're going to let you go now. They tortured people that they had no charges against, no reason even to be holding. And they, how can you justify this? And you can only understand it in the fact that there is truly evil, and the higher-ups knew what was going on. In fact, they even had statements drawn up saying, well, of course, certainly the Taliban have no rights as human beings. They're not prisoners of war. We don't have to go by the Geneva Convention. And then they brought those techniques right over into Iraq.
I think you're referring to the White House memo from Presidential Counsel Alberto Gonzalez, which recently surfaced, saying that foreign fighters captured in Afghanistan and Iraq were not entitled to protections under the Geneva Convention. And this has now been made public, and fortunately the media is making a big issue out of that because it is an egregious violation. But it shows that there has been official policy within the Bush administration to violate the Geneva Convention.
For torture, and they actually, there's a fellow named Yu, I think it is, was up in Berkeley at Hastings Law School, who wrote at the behest of the administration a brief that said, well, since the Taliban really are part of a failed government, it wasn't a legitimate government, despite the fact we'd negotiated with it and financed
it. And gave aid to it, yes.
Right, of course, but we can do whatever we want to, because these people are really not soldiers. After all, they don't have regular uniforms on. And so many of these people were slaughtered. I mean, they were put into airtight containers and allowed to suffocate under the auspices of the Northern Alliance, but we control the Northern Alliance. And where's the call for justice?
We had soldiers present during that death march in those vans, too. Over 3,000 prisoners died from suffocation and bullet wounds.
And, of course, the other thing is that, you know, they killed the head of the Iraqi Air Force. He wasn't a criminal. He was a soldier, and they tortured him to death. And where is the call for, court-martial of the people responsible? Well, we're going to investigate. We're going to look into it. Maybe we'll have a commission, another commission to look into it. And the criminals, there's over 33 people who died of torture, they all died of their hearts stopped. Well, I think their hearts stopped because they were being tortured to death. And there is no outcry. Where is the outcry from the American people? And saying, what are we doing over there? How can we justify this? How could the White House be, you know, this Christian administration, be getting these directives saying it's all right to torture people as long as they're terrorists? Or we say they're terrorists, they may be terrorists.
Someone asked the hypothetical question, you know, if someone it set off an atomic bomb and wasn't going to tell you where and when it was going to go off and how to defuse it, would you be justified in torturing him? And I said, probably yes. But the problem is, these people, you have no such evidence. these people haven't even done any crimes that you can pin on them, and you're using torture as a means of extracting confessions. That's the same thing that they did with the Leforo prison in Moscow. So how are we any different from the old Soviets?
Well, where is the outcry from the Christian leaders in America? Where is the demand that we have independent investigations rather than the army investigating itself or the government investigating itself? Where is our moral leadership? And I'm looking for it, and I don't see it. That's what really bothers me. I think we've abandoned our moral foundation. Joel, what's your parting thought? We just got to let you go.
Yeah, I think it's more than just losing our moral foundation. I think we are dealing with a secret combination of power here that is behind the scenes, and this is the great evil that is so difficult to overcome.
Amen. Well, that's our job, is at least to expose it. God bless you. Thanks for being with us, Joel.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
We'll be right back here in just a moment.
We have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma, What Really Happened. And of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy McVeigh acted independently. We're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, What Really Happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long-suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Oklahoma City, What Really Happened.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. The title of that video is Cover Up in Oklahoma City, and you can get that by itself as part of our Oklahoma City special. If you have been following at all of what's been happening in Oklahoma with the retrial of Terry Nichols, what they brought out is that there were other people involved, and they've had many people testify. They saw Timothy McVeigh with other Islamic people, that there was other people were seen getting out of the truck with him. Why is the government covering up the other people? Now, was Terry Nichols involved? I think he probably was. But why is the government only going after Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols and letting the other people go? What are they covering for? Well, the other people were Iraqi officers. Many of them were part of the Republican Guard that were brought to America, the United States, after the first Gulf War. There were about 5,000 Iraqis that were brought to the United States and settled here and given stipends. And of course, they may very well be part of the underground, the terrorist underground that is going to strike America. Why is our government covering for them? I wonder how many of you out there in the listening audience remember when it was announced by the press that Timothy McVeigh had written to his sister and said, I am part of a secret special forces unit involved in illegal activity. In fact, that's how Stephen Jones opened his defense. Stephen Jones was the lawyer who defended Timothy McVeigh. That's covered in his book, The Oklahoma City Bombing, Others Unknown, The Oklahoma City Bombing Conspiracy. You need to get our four tape sets or our Oklahoma City special. You'll get information there. You'll never get it anyplace else. And if Timothy McVeigh was part of a special forces unit, maybe we're not getting the sense truth about what really happened at all. Again, that's give us a call if you'd like to get those tapes. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and a lot of people don't like to hear this sort of thing. They don't like to hear bad things. And yet, if we don't hear bad things, if we don't have the moral courage to stand up and do what's right now, then we're really not fit to be Americans. We've sent boys overseas to fight and die for this country, and an awful lot of people have given their life for this country because they believed in it. But what are you willing to do? What sacrifice are you willing to make to preserve our freedom? Freedom has to be saved in every generation, because there really are dark forces there that want to use the power and wealth of this country to bring about a new world order. There have always been two forces in America. One was the Christian, the moral, the righteous. and the other was the devious, the dark, and the sinister. And that is the subject of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read it, you need to give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And order the Brotherhood of Darkness book. It's only $12.95. Now, if you would like to get the Brotherhood of Darkness special with a video, the audio tape, and the book together, why, it's $29.95. But get the information, copy the video, copy the audio tape, get people to listen, get them to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological and historic and financial battlefield. But it's a spiritual battle because there really are dark and sinister spiritual forces. And if you doubt that, you need to get our four tape set on Aleister Crowley and his friends. Aleister Crowley was a Satanist, one of the most powerful people during the first half of the last century. And he had disciples like Timothy Leary, Alfred Kinsey. If you haven't seen this great new video we're carrying, they sold their souls for rock and roll. Going into the background of so many of the things, Kinsey, Crowleyism, Timothy Leary, so many of these people were all worshippers of Aleister Crowley, who was a Satanist. And of course, what they're really after is the souls of our youth, and they're doing a great job getting them. So it's about time the American people learn what's going on. Let me suggest the video. They sold their souls for rock and roll, 4 hours of gripping presentation. And then we have so many other videos you need. Megiddo, the March to Armageddon, the story of the wars of the last century and the secret societies that promoted them. And, of course, the prophecies of the ancient sages of Nostradamus and Casey. But they were false prophecies. The real prophecies tell us that another war is coming, and I believe another war is coming. And if you don't stand up and do something now, you'll have no reason to complain when they draft your sons and daughters. At least get the information, find out what's happening, and then join us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation conceived under God and founded on Christian principles can long survive. Because America, until 50 years ago, was known throughout the world as a Christian nation. Who wants to think we're a Christian nation today? Why, the Muslims call us the Great Satan because we promote pornography, the largest exporters of pornography anywhere in the world. We promote degradation. Our women are so scantily clad, and of course, this creates all sorts of problems for men. And in the Muslim world, they know this. I'm not suggesting we go as far as the Muslims have, but at one time, girls were taught to be modest. Why, we start teaching them in kindergarten about sex, and we teach them about sex and about sex and about sex, and this is part of a planned program to demoralize our children, to remove their modesty, to remove their embarrassment, and actually to promote sexual promiscuity, which is why we have the epidemic of sexually transmitted diseases today. And this isn't happening by accident. There really are dark forces that want to corrupt and destroy our children and capture their souls, and they're doing a pretty good job of it. Well, you'll want to get the video, they gave their souls, or they sold their souls from rock and roll, Brotherhood of Darkness, Megiddo, my video, Iraq, the Untold Story, which explains why we're really over in Iraq, and gives the documents from the people who planned this whole thing. And you'll be fascinated when you read about the Project for the New American Century with Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney. This is from their website, not from mine. And they were planning on this back in 1998, long before the 9/11 attack. That was just a convenient excuse to get us into a war that will lead to World War III. Pray for America. Pray for revival. And please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.